ideas and new technology are causing seismic shifts in the media industry. Where are we headed? What does it mean? Keep listening. Media strategist Gabriella Mirabelli talks with the brightest minds in entertainment and business. Meet the innovators, the risk takers, and the disruptors on the front lines of change from Hollywood, Wall Street, Silicon Valley, and beyond. The future is coming to a screen near you. Are you ready? This is the Up Next podcast with Gabriella Mirabelli.
Welcome to Up Next. I'm your host, Gabriella Mirabelli. My guests today are Jason Harris, co-founder and CEO at Mechanism, Britta Van Scholer, president of Broadway Video Enterprises, and Zeppa Krager, director of the Creative Alliance. Like Zeppa, all of our guests are integral members of the Creative Alliance, a group of 70 entertainment, creative, technology, design, and communication agencies who support Civic Nation, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that uses engagement and public awareness to address some of the nation's most pressing challenges. Thank you all for joining me today on the podcast. It's really exciting and interesting. We're doing something a little outside of our ordinary, which is we're talking to several people who I have just introduced. But because we have so many voices, I'm going to be trying to identify speakers, or if you identify yourself when you answer, that way our listeners can follow along with who is speaking. First, Britta, could you just give us a little bit of background about Broadway Video and how you became involved with the Creative Alliance? Because that's how they came to this conversation.
Sure. So Broadway Video is Lorne Michaels' company, and he is the creator and producer of Saturday Night Live, which we produce, as well as many other shows, including The Tonight Show, Late Night with Seth Meyers, Portlandia, 30 Rock in the Past, AP Bio, etc. And my role here at Broadway Video is running the business division. So I essentially take all of our shows that we produce and retain rights to and distribute them on a worldwide basis across all media. So that could mean anything from international program sales to make sure that if you live in Sweden, you can still see Portlandia, to things like brand extensions here in the U.S., like the Saturday Night Live exhibit that we did during the 40th anniversary season. Outside of working on our library television shows, I also create businesses that leverage our core competencies, which we consider to be talent, production, and distribution. So most recently, we launched a content studio powered by Latino voices called Más Mejor, where we develop content and develop talent that will hopefully one day grow into long form series. We just got our first series pickup on HBO for Más Mejor with Fred Armisen, Julio Torres, who's an SNL writer, and Ana Fabrega, who...
Congratulations.
We're very, very excited about it. And it's in Spanglish, so it's something new for HBO as well. And yeah, we're excited about that.
Fantastic. So how did you become involved with the Creative Alliance?
So I was actually down in Mexico City about 2.5 years ago talking on a panel about Más Mejor and the Hispanic marketplace here in the U.S. And I met a woman who was at the time involved with the Creative Alliance. And she told me about the work they were doing at the time with the Obama administration. And it sounded so exciting. And I love this woman, Linda Ong, that I said to her, like, anytime you need help, just call me. And she did call me a couple weeks later. And so I got involved at that point as the Creative Alliance was expanding beyond just having creative advertising agencies attached. And I ran the Content and Platforms Committee. And my role was to broaden the reach for the videos that we were creating by bringing on platform distribution partners like Comedy Central and College Humor, et cetera.
Oh, fantastic. So, Zeppa, you are the director of the Creative Alliance. And have you been with the Alliance since its inception?
I've been with the Creative Alliance for about 1.5 years now.
And then, Jason, you're the co-founder and CEO of Mechanism, and your role at the Creative Alliance is, again?
I work with Britta on overseeing the Alliance, but Zeppa does all the work.
So how did you become involved? Is it sort of a similar happy accident the way Britta's story unfolded? Or
the Creative Alliance started it with a former co-founder, Heidi Hackmer, who works at a strategy firm. And we started it really, my agency Mechanism had created a campaign called It's On Us to combat sexual assault on college campuses. And we just celebrate our 4-year anniversary. And as we did that campaign, it was our first cause-related campaign, social good campaign. And obviously that was pro bono. And so we wanted to just keep doing more of it, but we would, you know, quickly go out of business if all the campaigns we created were unfunded and social good. So the idea was to create an organization where agencies and media platforms and influencers and a whole collection of creative individuals can come together and work on different causes and, you know, kind of each take a cause on as a team and spread around the work, but then also be affiliated together as a collective group. So that was the idea behind it.
Right. Now, and it's sort of the creative support for Civic Nation, correct?
Yeah.
So, Zeppa, does Civic Nation provide any funds for the participant organizations, or is it 100% pro bono situation?
Most of the work that the Creative Alliance does is pro bono. On occasion, we have some funding to cover some hard costs that we encounter, especially in production.
Okay, right. And for instance, I'm interested, the It's On Us campaign that you put together, Jason, was that something that you had done independent of the Creative Alliance and then joined, or was it something that sprang out of the Creative Alliance?
It started before the Creative Alliance was a thing, and it really was a, and now that campaign is one of 8 or 9 campaigns that the Creative Alliance runs. And it was started before the Creative Alliance was an organization, and really the Creative Alliance was sort of born out of the success of that campaign. And the idea was, there's such a pent-up demand for people that have day jobs and run companies and have big organizations to give back and use their powers for good. Why don't we create a place where people can do that? And really, it was kind of sparked from that one successful campaign. And the idea was, let's do more of them and have other people take them on.
Right. So, Zeppa, is it somewhat like an archipelago of creative agencies that,
good word,
that come together? Well, it was the only one I could think of. So that, you know, on one job, it may be this group of agencies, on this other job, it would be another group. And who, and are you kind of the, I don't know, the terraformer putting together the pieces of our metaphor there?
Yes. So we have 83 members of the Creative Alliance that span from ad agencies, strategy shops, production companies that kind of range from traditional commercial houses to folks who make documentaries, AR, VR platforms, ranging from folks like Comedy Central and BET to Awesomeness TV, and then artists, influencers, and celebrities. And around all of our initiatives, we work very much as a team and collaboratively across agencies and different organizations to kind of support our nonprofits. Mm-hmm. I think of myself as the matchmaker in the middle. So really kind of finding what are the needs of an initiative, where is there opportunity for us to really make a difference, and what partners can we tap who have the capabilities and the passion for that subject that can kind of come on and support the work.
Right. One of the things that's really challenging today for all content creators is content discovery. And so one of the things I'm curious about is how you go about targeting your placement so that your content is discovered by the audiences that need to discover it. Can you share?
Yeah. So our campaigns almost exclusively work off totally organic sharing. We don't have very much paid media. Most of our campaigns have no paid media behind them. Mm-hmm. So what that means for us is that we have to be very strategic, A, about the type of content we're making, mm-hmm. so that we're sure that it both resonates with our audience and is something that they are going to feel so inspired that they're going to share it with their own audience. And then the other thing is really being strategic about what influencers we partner with to make sure that we're kind of always growing our audience and bringing in new people either from platforms or different influencers who reach the folks that we're trying to talk to.
Right. Now, Jason and Britta, you guys obviously have larger organizations and strategic backgrounds and rich sort of data resources. Are you able to bring some of that information to bear on the projects? And are they only brought to bear on your projects, or do they filter across the entire universe?
Okay. I would say that each of the member companies that are part of the Creative Alliance bring with them a skill set that has made them successful in whatever their daytime jobs are. And we certainly apply all of that to what we do at the Creative Alliance. For me, with respect to Saturday Night Live, you know, we've been producing it since 1975, and we inadvertently produce a show that's very digitally ready because it's short form, it's very topical, and oftentimes it's celebrity driven. And we use those same principles with the Creative Alliance. Luckily, we're working on campaigns that are incredibly important to a broad audience. Our campaigns mostly focus on access to education, gender equality, and civic engagement. And I think right now, more than any other time in my life, at least, I think those are all topics that people are really passionate about. So we're able to bring celebrities into a lot of the things we do. Zepa is able to get a lot of influencers who are going to promote what we do, et cetera. So we end up using kind of the same best practices that we do on our shows like Saturday Night Live and other productions with the Creative Alliance as well. And honestly, that's, I think, why the Obama administration had hired Jason's company Mechanism 4 years ago when he first did the work for It's On Us, is because obviously the White House is great at creating policy, but who's better than creating messaging that resonates with a particular audience and getting it out there than a creative agency? So that was the idea that was behind the entire Creative Alliance.
Yeah, I think to add to that, I think it's to bring, because we're outside of Washington, the idea is to bring whatever superpowers and skills individuals and companies have that they've applied to building some of the best brands or content or programs, you know, in the world, and apply those principles to social good. So it's not to operate differently, it's actually to operate differently than Washington, but in the same way that we would build up powerful brands, let's create campaigns and causes as if they're also brands that we're building, and using, you know, similar tools that we would get hired by brands to use.
One of the things that's interesting, if we think about brands, because one of the things that brands are always really wary of is brand safety and influencers. And as you broaden who you're teaming with, have you had any issues where somebody's gone a little off script, or there's been blowback, or has it just all been great?
Very good question, because when you have lack of funding and lack of resources and lack of time, it makes, you know, it makes sense that you wouldn't have all of the checks and balances you would normally have. I think we fortunately haven't had any massive blowups, but we do have to vet. Like, some influencers would want to work on a campaign around gender equality or voting rights or whatever it might be. And, you know, if they have any content that is suspect, we can't work with them. So it does take a bit of a vetting process. And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, people's accounts and what they've said in jest or to drive up views comes back to us being protective on the work that we put out there, because we don't want any, you know, PR headline that takes the focus away from what we're trying to achieve.
Well, it also, I was looking at Vote Together, which I believe that's one of your initiatives, correct? And it looks like it's partnering with MTV. So is that something that your member firms broker, that kind of thing?
So actually, MTV is a member of the Creative Alliance.
All right, there you go.
They got really excited. We do meetings every year to bring together all of our members and talk about what's coming up in the next year. And MTV was in the room and we were talking about Vote Together. And afterwards, they were like, we want to be part of this. We want, like, this is something we feel very passionate about. And so then over, I guess it was about 10 months, worked together to kind of figure out what that partnership would look like. And it all has come to life just a few weeks ago. So it's been really exciting to see that.
That's fantastic. It also seems like when I was looking around at some of the content you shared with me, that there's sort of owned and operated websites for these different initiatives, and then YouTube videos, and sometimes some Facebook things, but very much tied to whatever the particular initiative is. But if I'm searching on Creative Alliance, I don't necessarily find anything. Now, is it because you guys really want to disappear? Or, you know,
I think we want,
where's the branding, people?
We want to put our limited resources towards promoting the brands of the causes rather than ourselves.
Right. Okay.
It's the bottom of the checklist. It's not because we're trying to be cool. Anyway, I think we are like the men and women behind the campaigns. And right. It takes just lower priority. But it would be smart if we did a better job branding ourselves.
Well, I was just in terms of linking the initiatives or having a place where you can also have people who are interested, other creative agencies, which maybe aren't aware that this opportunity exists. You know, that was a curiosity I had. I mean, it seems like there's a certain amount of overlap between the Creative Alliance and your day jobs. Fair? Yes?
Yes.
Absolutely. I think what we each individually bring to the Creative Alliance is the special skill that we've developed in our careers.
Right. So in terms of the Creative Alliance, Zeppa, is it purely, are you it for the institutional memory? Is it you? Is everything else virtual? Or do you have a team that then says, well, whenever it's a Creative Alliance project, there are certain procedures, documentation that always happens. And so we have the skeleton team. It's like five people. What is your organizational structure?
Yeah. So, well, there's two of us that are technically on staff. So big team. And it was just me for a while. And before it was just Jason and his team running it. So outside of the two people on staff, I really think of our team as much larger. So we have Jason and Britta who lead the organization. And then mm-hmm. we also have co-chairs for all of our committees. So we have co-chairs for creative agency and design, co-chairs for production, platforms, and they really help do a lot of the recruitment and helping us think strategically about matchmaking. And with all of those folks also come their teams. So we start to grow fast once we think kind of more widely about what our team looks like.
What about the creative approval process? How does that work? A lot of times if you're doing work pro bono, you like to own it and be given your head a bit. But obviously, you want to make it fit within your boundaries.
Yeah.
So how does that work? Do you guys, Jason, Britta, do you review all the creative? And if you do, good God, how do you get your job done?
We do. And it also goes through each one of the Civic Nation causes who's essentially kind of assigned us our job. Route the work through their checks and balances as well to make sure that we're hitting on the right points and staying within bounds of what they want to achieve, basically.
I see. And those civic causes are housed and funded through Civic Nation or organized through Civic Nation?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you, I mean, Britta, you've got a pretty big job at Broadway Video, you know? I mean, do you sleep? How do you do it all?
You know, some of it ends up being nighttime work for sure. And like with everything, it ebbs and it flows. Sometimes.
Is there a busy season for civic work?
In this current political climate, it's always busy season, I think.
Well, that's actually an interesting point because I know that Civic Nation is nonprofit and nonpartisan.
Mm-hmm.
However, we find ourselves in a time when some things like women have become politicized. So is that ever conflict? Like there was a birth control spot that was on Facebook that you guys did, which was very pointed in its messaging. I thought it was really funny and very effective, but it was really pointed. So how do you square that with the nonpartisan aspect of things?
We consider ourselves to be nonpartisan because we're not talking about political issues. We're really talking about human issues. So I think, you know, in some cases, we probably end up landing on one side or the other, but not because we're trying to skew Democrat or Republican. We're just trying to protect
an interest in issue.
Okay. So is that accurate?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Good. But yeah, it's tricky sometimes. And, you know, obviously we were born out of the Obama administration, and now we really want to live separately because, like I said, these are just human issues. And though Michelle Obama in particular is still involved in a lot of the education work we do want to make sure that we can talk to a really wide audience. And these days, if you are partisan, I think you shut off the conversation to half of the country, and we absolutely don't want to do that.
Right. Now, there's a wealth of platforms to push your content onto. How do you determine your platform targeting? You know, can you take me through sort of an example?
Yeah, sure. There's not a super rigorous process, but it really starts with whoever's running the strategy for the project, whatever strategist from the agency. We'll usually partner with comms planning, and based on the objective, what we're trying to accomplish, those two folks will figure out where it could live, what the audiences we're talking about to get the desired outcome. And of course, everything is primarily digital and social. We certainly do run TV campaigns as well, but really that's fundamentally where it's going to live. And then once we know where we want it to live, what the message is, what we're going to make, what type of content we're going to make, then it's about finding the right media platform to spread it. And that can take a lot of different shapes, but it's usually some type of online platform that has some type of reach that can take our content or create content off of our idea, targeting their audience. So it really does start at the briefing stage, and then it's up to sort of, because we're not moving, you know, millions of dollars around in media, then it's up to finding the right media platform for it.
Right. I have two questions. One, you've talked about your structure, your sort of committee structure. I'm curious, do you have a functional committee, like a strategy committee, where some of the best practices about targeting, placement, things like that can be captured so that every project benefits from that higher strategic thinking? Is that one of the committees? Is that how you, even if, you know, because different firms have different strategic capabilities. So is it a committee?
Zeppa, I don't know if you want to run through the various committees that we have, but we have divided it up. We have committee heads, two or three committee heads that are experts in their particular vertical.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have creative agency and design, which strategy falls under that committee, production, platforms, and distribution, which also support a lot as we think about where for our media partners for pieces of this, and then artists, influencers, and celebrities. So under those buckets, we really use those co-chairs, both as help in the recruitment and matchmaking, but also in thinking through strategy and helping us make sure we have the right experts in the room to be successful.
Right. And the strategy piece usually ends up starting with the creative agency who comes up with the messaging to accomplish whatever Civic Nation needs to accomplish. And then I would say that the strategy thinking continues all the way through the platform stage, where we try to identify maybe an exclusive partner or a launch partner, something like that, who would be in the right place for the audience.
Right. Because it's almost a matrixy skill set. I mean, you're going to have a slightly different strategy head, creative strategy, answering a brief versus, you know, distribution strategy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I would also say that with respect to each piece of work we do, our timeline and our focus, there's a real range. So one example is like a year ago when funding for Title IX was being cut. We knew it was coming a few days before it was announced. We wanted to quickly get content out there and just make it available as widely as possible. So we made some stuff and just like sprayed and prayed.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, with other things like the It's On Us campaign that Mechanism and Jason have always done, there's a specific focus there, which is talking to young men of college age. So that's treated more as a campaign with kind of a long runway where there is a lot of thought going into exactly how to target the right audience and what to say to make that message resonate with them. But we don't always have that luxury.
Right. Of course. a lot of entertainment brands, you know, the channels, NBC, let's take them as an example. They have a social page and presence. Their reach in terms of the number of people who have signed up and liked their page, when they put something out, not everybody who likes their page will actually even see it.
Now,
whereas if you as Britta, the individual, put something up, your friends are likely to see it. Mm-hmm. And so the natural organic reach of an entertainment page has increasingly been throttled down. And this encourages people to have to pay to push. Now, obviously, we're in a situation here where it's not pushable, or it's not, you don't have the resources to do that. And so I'm just curious if in working with these platforms, if you're treated like a brand or more like a person.
Well, I think depending on the partnership, it's usually treated like editorial.
Okay.
So Zeppa, do you want to talk about your experience working with Hearst?
Yeah. So we've partnered with Hearst in a couple different ways, most recently around the Joe Biden Courage Awards back in April. They came on and were our live stream partner, but we also partnered with them. They covered United States of Women while they were talking about being an activist and one of their issues last year. So we've kind of partnered with them in different ways, mostly all on the editorial side of what messages that they're already telling. And we partner with them to provide a call to action to their mm-hmm. audience, because I think right now we also are seeing that people don't want to go down Inspiration Highway. They don't want to hear about a problem and then be left at the end of the article right. or the end of the right. video with nothing to do. And so we really right. can provide the tools and the next steps for people so they can take action both in their life, in their community, and across the country.
Right, right. That's so important. Any cause-related thing that rather than just sort of, I like it and that's my activism, how does it convert? What are the KPIs that you have when you're doing one of these campaigns?
So I think the KPIs are, they're sometimes, you know, soft and squishy, and sometimes they're very specific. So if we're doing something about, if we're throwing voting parties to get people out to vote, then those are measurable. How many parties, in which location did we get people to attend? What percentage of people voting went up in that area due to those parties, plus 4%? 500 parties. That's an example of something that's very measurable. Mm-hmm. Having an event like the United States of Women, which is an event held every year, I think there's 6,000 people that attend that event. So that's like a measurable number. If we're trying to create change like the It's On Us campaign, how many colleges have created pledges for people to enact? How many rallies have been held? How much change in legislation has there been? So those are all measurable things. And so it can really run from, you know, really specific KPIs written in the brief to, we want to create awareness about this issue that we're fighting against, which is impressions and softer numbers.
Right.
So it really depends on the campaign, but it has to be driven. At the end of the day, what we try to bake in is, and some campaigns are much more successful than others, but we always try to bake in that involvement factor. What is the participation number and what are we trying to get people to do? It's not just, here's our message and spreading awareness. It's always about an action. It's of some kind.
Right, right. Well, we have actually, believe it or not, already run through our time.
No way.
So before, yeah, I know, really fast, right? So before we go though, I'm going to go through everybody. I'd like you to tell me what's next for you with the Creative Alliance. So Britta, you first.
Sure. I think, well, we're all working together as a united front on the Creative Alliance. And what we're really focusing on right now is midterm elections and making sure that as many people of whatever party affiliation you are get out to vote and are making your voice heard. So we've got a couple of different campaigns going on around that right now. One of them being the Vote Together that we've talked about a little bit now. So that's what we're focusing on immediately.
Okay, and is that's across for all of you? That's the big push.
That's the number one issue right now. Yep.
Yep.
Okay, great. Well, certainly an important one. And Zeppa, what is in the future, like 2 years out? What do you think? What are you predicting you'll be focusing on?
So I think the Creative Alliance will continue to really dig in deep on the issues that we're working on. So educational access and success, gender equality, and civic engagement. We're hoping in the next half of a year to 8 months to really also be digging into the creative class and how do we diversify the creative class. So working on some work there, which I'm really excited about as we expand our education work. I think the other bigger piece that we'll continue to work on as a Creative Alliance is growing our membership very strategically to make sure that we have the capabilities that best serve our nonprofits. So thinking about how do we bring more micro-influencers into the Creative Alliance? How do we bring on different and new platforms, especially ones that are reaching Gen Z, so that we can continue to be highly effective on the work that we're doing?
Well, that was actually sort of my next question, which is how do people find out more about the Creative Alliance? So nice dovetail there. So how can people find out more about what you're doing and how perhaps to raise their hand to get involved?
Yeah, people can go right now. We're in the midst of a new website, but people can go to civicnation.org to learn more about us and are able to reach any of us at creativealliance@civicnation.org if they want to shoot us an email or find us on social. We'd love to talk to more folks about joining.
Fantastic. Well, thank you all for coming on and talking through what you're doing. I think it's really great. And I love seeing the technology being pushed to serve a purpose. So thank you.
Can't wait for you to join, Gabrielle.
All right. I will join.
That was going to be my one thing. You have a lot of good ideas, so. Your firepower.
All right. Sign me up.
All right.
We've reached the end of another episode of Up Next, and I'd like to close by thanking a few important people who helped bring the program to life. First, my friend, Rob Naughton, the amazing voice artist who recorded our open. And of course, thanks to my production team over at Microfame Media. And of course, most importantly, all of you, the members of our amazing audience, thank you. I'll be talking to you again next week, right here on Up Next.